some years on when we, you know, get around to preaching Christmas sermons, we tend to focus, and some of the passages you heard, we tend to focus on proving that Jesus is the expected Messiah from the Old Testament. And that's a worthy endeavor. There's a theologian named Tremper Longman, and I love how he kind of captured this idea. He says, in Christ, God has provided the climax to the Old Testament story. Jesus did not arrive unannounced. His coming was declared in advance in the Old Testament, not just in the explicit prophecies of the Messiah, but by means of the stories of all the events, all the characters, all the circumstances in the Old Testament. God was telling a larger, overarching, unified story from the account of creation in Genesis to the final stories of the return from the exile. God progressively is unfolding His plan of salvation. And the Old Testament account of that plan always pointed to the Christ child. Just this year, we've studied as a body, we've studied Jonah and Micah, and we've seen some of those explicit prophecies where we're like, see, that's definitely pointing to Jesus. And then we've seen a number of other places where it's also pointing to Jesus. And so we have great confidence. Sometimes that's what we spend our time around Christmas time doing. And again, that's a fantastic thing to do. Sometimes we're trying to ask a different question. Or answer a different question. We hear, maybe you have a coworker or a family member that says, you know, that Christmas story, there were a bunch of other baby stories in the ancient Near East, and Christianity just borrowed and pieced together some of those stories and from some of those myths. And so we set about proving that, no, the birth of Christ, of God coming to earth to live among men, is a unique, standalone story. And we spend time talking about that. Maybe some other years we spend some time, and you heard Daniel talk about Jesus is the reason for the season. And we want to remind one another and push one another, hey, don't let it be about all that other stuff, right? It's about Jesus. It's not about Santa. It's about the gift of the Christ child. It's not about the gifts under the tree. And so for some of you, like the big win during Christmas, as you're walking out of Target and someone, this cheerful young lady says, season's greetings. And you turn and you say, and a Merry Christmas to you. And you walk out like with your head held high, like you just burned her, right? Is that so we won't talk about that. But sometimes that's what we're trying to do, is to make sure that we do remember the reason for the season. But I was asking some people this week, is there maybe another thing that we need to remind ourselves of? And it was interesting. Several of the people I asked kind of answered the same way. And it was not so much. And I was really asking the question like, hey, for your friends that aren't really like that involved, or your family members, like, what do you think the question that they're really asking about Christmas is? And they said, you know, it's not so much as he, did it really happen? Or it's not so much as he the one from the Old Testament. It's really maybe a sadder question. It's like, so what? Does this matter? Like, I can affirm that probably it's true, and I can affirm that it was unique and all these things, but like, so what? Does it matter to how my life is going right now? Maybe that's where you find yourself today. And you may not ask that question in words, because that would be kind of bold to say, I don't know that it matters, but maybe in your life or in your heart, you're asking, like, does it really matter? And it's interesting that we make a big deal every year, especially preachers, and it's right to do this, that the resurrection did happen after the cross. In fact, the Apostle Paul will say, if it did not happen, we're the biggest fools living. And so we spend a lot of time like the resurrection happened, but do we spend quite as much time asking, did the incarnation really happen? Did God really come to earth as a child? And if so, then what does that mean? Are we fools also if that didn't happen? And so really, here's where I want us to see today from our passage is that Christmas matters. It matters. Believing the Christmas story matters greatly. In fact, there's real hope for us while we live now and for eternity because Christmas is true. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I love, again, this was not planned, that was kind of one of the passages the ladies read in the Advent reading. We're going to be a little past that. 1 John chapter 4. This is not a traditional Christmas passage, but I think it serves our purpose because of that, perhaps. So I want to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. So I love, and this might be hard for some of you to grasp, but we start out by declaring that we can know God. Now, there's a theologian, Wayne Grudem, that says, and I love this, because he makes the point, we can't know necessarily God exhaustively, but we can know God. John says so right here. We can know about Him, certainly. Many people know about Him, but a step further, we can know Him. God wants us to know Him. He has revealed Himself to us in His Word and perfectly in His Son, the Word. Right? John chapter 1 says, the coming of Jesus, I think it's verse 18, is to make God known. This epistle that John is writing, it is full of all these ways to know God and to know that you know God. And that He knows you. And then, John has this great confidence that he speaks of in verse 14. He says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. John, along with his fellow apostles and many others, is saying, here's what he's saying. We saw Jesus personally. We saw the Christ child as an adult. We walked with Him. He called us. We ministered alongside Him. We saw Him crucified. We saw Him raised. The Christmas passages, the Christmas carols, they are true, John is testifying. Jesus has indeed come. The incarnation did happen. I mean, this news, this fact, transformed John and his friends' lives. Turned them upside down. Their passions, their plans, their religion. And remember, in his gospel, I mean, this is kind of a big focus for John. In his gospel, he says, I am writing everything I've written, I am writing so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so there are heretics on social media. There are false teachers in progressive Christianity. There are erudites in academia who would say things like this. The Christmas story is just a myth. Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin. He wasn't really conceived by the Holy Spirit. God didn't really come to earth as a man. Or if those things maybe are true, maybe not, doesn't really matter. That stuff doesn't matter. And John is testifying the exact opposite. John says that he knows. And he testifies that the Father has indeed sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John's saying, in essence, the Christmas story is true. The Christmas story is true. when we sing, O come, Emmanuel. In other words, come, God, be with us. When we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. John would hear those and say, yes, I affirm all of that. I testify that is true. And so if it is indeed a fact that all that Christmas stuff is true, that Jesus left heavenly glory, that He was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit in the likeness of men, taking the form of a servant, it does really, really matter. It really matters. In fact, the key to the hope that you and I have is that we believe the Christmas story. We believe what John believed. Notice verse 15. So John has said, here's what I believe, and I can testify on what I've seen. And now John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. So we then believe, like John, that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John's testimony, John's assurance, John's confidence has now become our testimony and our assurance and our confidence. But notice the condition John sets up. If, then, that's a condition statement, right? Not all people, whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God. You can be around today and tomorrow and the next few days a lot of people that will affirm some pieces of the Christmas story and peace, and we should be peaceful and we should give and not worry about getting, and it'll all sound spiritual. But they may not truly confess Jesus as the Son of God. They don't truly believe the Christmas story. And you know, right, we've talked about this, that is a terrible place to be. I almost think that's worse than someone that says, no, I don't believe any of it, and I know I don't believe any of it, than a person that will believe some feel-good stuff and let's help humanity and not confess Jesus is Lord. They're blind and they're in darkness. So whoever believes that Christ has indeed come, that He is Emmanuel, God with us, believes the Christmas story. And so here's quickly three gifts that we get by, you and I get by buying into the Christmas story. Everybody doesn't get these. But you get these if you buy into the Christmas story. The first one, this is huge. God abides in you and you abide in God. Look at verse 15, the rest of it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And in verse 13, he said it with confidence, we know that we abide in him and he in us. See, if you believe that he has come, you confess him as the Son of God, then by the Spirit, you are able to confess that Jesus is the Son of God with your mouth, with your life. And you are able to say, we abide in God and God abides in us. You know that you and I, we don't go to a temple to worship God. We don't have to do that. And this building, as we're so thankful for God, for this building. And I was telling someone else the story of how it was a haunted house before and how God has redeemed this building. But do you understand, we don't have to come to this building to worship God. We do to gather together, and it's been a gift. But God dwells with us now. This is unique among stories about different gods in history. The dwelling place of God is now man. From Exodus to Revelation, that was the plan. There is an intimacy. You don't just know facts about God. You know Him intimately. He knows you intimately. God abides in Him and He in God. We dwell in God and God dwells in us. If the Christmas story is true, Christian, and you belong to Jesus, God abides in you and you abide in God. That's incredible. That is incredible. So that's the first gift. The second gift is that you know and believe that God loves you. I wonder, well, I know for some of you, and I know for myself, but I wonder for some that I don't know. Have you had times in 2023, or maybe the last couple of years, where you were just not quite sure about God's love? Maybe right now, that's where you are. You would affirm that He has come. You would affirm that the crucifixion and the resurrection. You're certain that He saves. You're certain that He is sovereign. You accept all that. But deep down, you're not really sure that He loves. Or He loves you the way that you need to be loved. But here's what John's saying. You believe that He has come. You believe the Christmas story. You confess with your mouth. And so you know now and believe that God loves you. I mean, the whole motivation of the coming, of the incarnation, right, is grounded in love. The very coming, the very root of Christmas means that God loves us. Paul's talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, and he's talking about this story, and he says, all of this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, think of the manger. In Christ, God was reconciling the world, bringing the world back to Himself. In order to reconcile us back to Himself, God sends the Son. Motivated by love. See, the Christian individually, or you and I together, the church, we can say without an ounce of arrogance, God, we believe that Jesus fully came, and we know and believe God loves us. Without an ounce of arrogance and with complete confidence. I know that's some of you, I want you to go home this afternoon and say that in front of the mirror. Like, it's hard sometimes to say that. I know that God loves me. But if the Christmas story is true, church, and you belong to Jesus, you know and believe that God loves you by the mere coming of the Christ child. So, you abide in God, God abides in you, because Christmas is true. You know and believe with full confidence that God loves you, because Christmas is true. And one more. You have confidence in the day of judgment. Notice verse 17. So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. I was playing with matches when I was, I don't remember how old I was, 7 or 8, a friend of mine and I, we found some matches in a baseball field. We were lighting them and they'd been left out, and so not a whole lot of them were lighting, and so we thought that was really fun, and so we snuck into his house and we were going to go, you know, I don't know, probably start a forest fire or something. And I'll never forget, you know, we're walking out of his house and I had the matches behind my back, and all of a sudden, you know, his mother said, "Hey, where are you guys going?" I'm like, you know, of course, complete guilt all over my face. I mean, I was the worst actor ever. Of course, we got nailed and got in a lot of trouble. And I remember I went home and, you know, his mom called my mom. And so I was sent to my room to await my father coming home from work. Well, I didn't know this. He was coming home for lunch anyway. It was a planned thing. I thought he was coming home specifically to punish me. So I was wailing. I was, well, oh, why did I do it? I'm so sorry. I don't know that I have godly sorrow, but I had worldly sorrow. And here's the point. I was not looking forward to the moment of judgment. I was in terror, right? And yet here, John is saying, you and I can have confidence for the day of judgment. It's been said many ways, but there's this thought through Christianity that Jesus came the first time as a lamb to die. He's coming the second time as a lion to reign and judge. And here's what John is saying. You can walk into that moment with a smile on your face. That's a good day for you, Christian. You believe He has come. You know why He came. You know the life He lived. You know the death He died. You know His resurrection. You believe all of that by faith. You trust in Him for your salvation. You have confidence. You sing that song that we sing, in Christ alone, no guilt in life, no fear in death. You mourn differently than others. You handle trials differently. Your concept of time is different because you're not just thinking about the here and now. All that's drastically different. If the Christmas story is true, and the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, you have confidence in the day of judgment, Christian. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you have confidence in the day of judgment. And so as we finish this morning, I just want you to think about the gifts. As we're unwrapping gifts today or tonight or tomorrow, that you have this abiding in God and He in you. You have this love of God, this assured love of God. You have this confidence in life and death because you affirm what John affirms. The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And you have confessed that with your mouth. You've confessed that with your life. Man, I don't know how 2023 is ending, but man, you can sleep well with that knowledge. You can live on and in that knowledge. You can even celebrate that in this Christmas season. Christmas, it matters. It matters if it happened. It has great significance. So let's pray as we get ready to